Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone, especially the new visitors. Good to have you all. So Pastor Sammy and Stanley are out of town, so I'm filling in for him, and hope we have a good time in the Word of God as we go through the scriptures and understand what God has given us in the Bible. So today the message is, I have prepared a message on the life of Joseph. Okay, so Joseph is a very important example that God has given us, and he should be our hero. He should be someone that we should be learning from and be encouraged by, right? We need good examples, right? We need good role models who have pleased God before us, and God wants us to look at their life and be encouraged. So the title of the message is Faith of Joseph, and this story is in Genesis, and it starts from Genesis chapter 37, and it goes all the way to Genesis 50. So most of the Bible, most of the book of Genesis, a lot of it tells us about the life of Joseph. So he's a very, very important person. In fact, he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, right? In Hebrews 11, he is one of the faith heroes that God has given us. And from Genesis, we have eight people who are faith heroes. We have Abel, that is Adam's son. We have Enoch. We have Noah. We have Abraham. We have Isaac. We have Abraham. We have Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph. Right? Joseph is the eighth person they mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as a faith hero. So let's start with this verse in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. It says, Genesis chapter 37, verse 3. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varied color tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. So he is the favorite son of Jacob. Okay, Jacob made it very obvious that he likes this son more than all the 11. I don't know if that was a good idea, you know, to make it so obvious that you prefer one child over all the others. But he did that. He made it very obvious. He bought him some special clothes, and he was showing off his son, right? He loved him so much. But that did not play well with his brothers. So on the other hand, the brothers hated him. And Joseph was in trouble, right? He was hated by all his older brothers, and they were 11 of them. Okay? So it must be quite a situation to be in, right? Growing up in a house where all your brothers hate you. So why did they hate him? The Bible says that they hated him because their father loved him. And then he also complained about his brothers to his father, right? So they hated him even more. And then finally, when he revealed it to them that he is going to rule over them, or some way he's going to be superior to them, that made them even more angry. Okay, that was the last and final thing that Joseph did or said that was enough for these 11. So now they were going to try and kill him. Okay, so we see here that jealousy and envy has a progression, right? So first they just don't like him. Then they hate him even more. And then finally, they hate him so much that they want to kill him. Okay? And we learn something important here. Like, we can always say, you know, this is something that I will never do, or, you know, I'm not that bad person, right? Because that's what I thought, right? When I saw how evil these brothers were, like, they wanted to kill their youngest brother, I thought, man, that is really evil. But you know what? Any one of us here is capable of doing this. Really, any one of, even me or anyone you're sitting can do this because of this emotions of envy and hatred and resentment and all these things. They add up and they make us do, you know, heinous crimes and, you know, even murder your own sibling. So it's a big lesson for us, and we learn that, you know, we should not go this path, right? We should not go the path of hatred, envy, and resentment. But be very careful. Be very, very careful. Because some last thing will happen, and you will do something that you will regret for the rest of your life, right? And exactly that is what we see in the life of these brothers. They will never forget what they did to their youngest brother. And it will be a thorn in their flesh for the rest of their life. So we see here, they hate him because he told them the dream. So why did Joseph reveal his dream to his brothers? Is it because, like, he was excited now that he's going to be great, or he's going to, you know, have some great wealth or rule over all that his father has? No, that is not the reason. You know, Joseph was a prophet. Joseph was a prophet. He was being revealed things because God wanted him to know these things so that he could guide the house of Abraham into the plan that God had for them. Okay, that is the main reason. So Joseph is a prophet. So he's not only, he has good character because he goes through all this trauma in his brother's house, but he stays truthful. And he submits to his father and his mother. But he is also chosen by God. So he's not only chosen by his father, but he's also chosen by God to be a prophet. So let's read this in Genesis 37, verse 6. And he said to them, "Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, I was binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood up erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf." So there are 12 sheaves, and he has this dream that his sheaf is greater, and all his brothers' sheaves are bowing down. Then he has another one. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, "Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." So here now, not only his brothers, but even his parents are involved. And he related it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually bow ourselves down before you to the ground?" So no one believes him. No one believes the prophet. And they are actually upset and angry with him. But God was revealing the future plan to Joseph. Okay, it was not just about Joseph. It was not a rags to riches story, okay, about Joseph, that he's going to have some great success. But it was about God's plan. And notice that it was twice given, and that means anything that God gives twice is like for sure. We've been reading, going through the book of Daniel, and several times God repeats the dream to show that this is going to happen, and it is from God. And then Joseph was going to be the leader, okay? He was going to be the shepherd of the family. So he's going to be God's leader who's going to guide the family through some difficult times, of course, that is coming. So Joseph is a prophet, and this is how God revealed his plans and purposes in the Old Testament, right, in the Old Covenant, and even under Jesus, that God would give dreams to his people. And we see this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. So God would, one of the way God would reveal his plan was through dreams. Okay, and now we don't have God's revelation through dreams, because it says here that God has revealed everything to us in his beloved Son. We have all the revelation that God has for us. And this was the main reason that now they are going to kill him. So we have here a picture of how Joseph is like Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ also was God's chosen, you know, king of the kingdom, but he was rejected and not accepted. So the same way, Joseph is not going to be accepted. Why? Because the message is very, very hard for them to digest. Because in those days, it was very hierarchical, right? The father and the elder would always be the ruler. And it was never the younger who would take leadership in the family. But God had a different plan, and it was kind of going against their culture and their understanding. So he's rejected as a prophet also. Then, moving on, that now that God has chosen him as a prophet, you know, God will test Joseph. Okay, God will test Joseph. And we see this, that all the prophets were tested by God. And many times they didn't want that position. Okay, they didn't want that position of being called a prophet or, you know, having leadership position. We have so many examples, like Moses. We know Moses. When God called Moses, what did he do? What did he say? No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, right? And he was making all kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses, debating with God, that God, I don't want to do this. Finally, God had to give him, actually. And he said, okay, you know, take Aaron with you, right? Another big example of someone who didn't want to be a prophet of God or a leader of God, another big example is Jonah, right? Jonah is one of the big examples, because God tells him to go left, he goes right. Okay, he goes in the opposite direction. He does all that he can not to listen. I mean, he didn't want to. He didn't want to. But of course, God then makes him do. So my point is that it is very interesting that these prophets, they didn't want this position. They were not like going after it. But God chose them. And it was same with Joseph. It was same with Joseph. He did not choose this, but God chose him. And he is now, you know, going to be used by God. And so anything that God uses, you know, he tests before. Okay, he just doesn't give them things or make them do things or promotes them to big positions before he tests them. And we see this in Joseph's life. From now on, for the next 13 years, he is going to be tested very severely. So for 13 years, he is going to suffer. First, he's going to suffer as a slave, and then he's going to suffer as a prisoner. And the whole life of Joseph is summarized in Psalm 105, verse 16. It says, and he called for a famine upon the land. So this is a good recount of the history of Israel. Okay, the psalmist is explaining the whole history of Israel. And when he comes here, it says he called for a famine upon the land. So God was going to call the famine on the land. So the plan already was in place. And he says he broke whole staff of bread. It means that there is going to be a very, very severe famine. There is going to be no food. To break the staff of bread means there's going to be no food. I mean, that's a very, very tough situation to be. You know, I don't think any of us here have been in a famine. And I hope none of us, I hope not. But this is some serious, serious bad situation. Okay. And, you know, we cry for small things. I was like convicted by this. We cry for some small issue that happens in our life. But being in a famine would be very, very, you know, tough. Very, very tough. And God is going to bring a famine. So what does it say? So that's God's plan. It's very interesting that first it talks about the famine, right? It first talks about God's plan, what he's going to do. He's going to bring a famine. And then it says he sent a man before them. So because of the plan, he's going to prepare Joseph. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in iron until the time that his word came to pass. The word of God tested him. Okay, the word of God tested him. So, he was God's leader. Okay, he was going to be God's deliverer. And it says in verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass. What does that mean? So, his word came to pass when God gave the dream to Pharaoh that a famine is coming. Do you remember those two dreams? It's in later on in Genesis 40. God appeared to this man, Pharaoh, and about the cow, right? First, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. So he sees these, you know, nice big cows. And then he sees 7 years of famine. So, until the time of his word came to pass, meaning at that time, when the Pharaoh, he had that dream. So, until that time, he's going to test Joseph. Okay, that's the 13 years. So, between the time of the dream and the fulfillment was tested. He's going to be tested as a slave and a prisoner. So, he had to be patient and he had to endure. He had to endure. So, how did he do that? You know, how did he go through this 7 years of suffering without giving up his faith? It was because of the word, because God had already shown him the dream that, you know, I'm going to be with you. You are going to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. So that dream and those promises of God kept him through these 13 years. It was that what kept him. So even us, we have been promised, right, salvation. We have been promised that we will be with God forever and ever. But now, right now in this life, we will be tested. Matthew 13, verse 20. It says, and the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky place, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So this is a very, very important teaching that Jesus is giving in the Gospels. There are different kinds of people, right? And here there is an example of a person who hears the word of God, like Joseph. Joseph heard about the coming blessing through him. They hear and they are happy and they are joyful. Yet they don't have root in them. They do not have the conviction of the word of God in them. And so they are temporary, and when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. But Joseph is not like that. He's committed, right? He's committed. He's rooted, and he does not give up his faith. He goes through the betrayal of his brother, and he is tempted in Potiphar's house by his wife, but he He is faithful. Then he's forgotten by the cupbearer after he helps him to get out and tells him about the future. He is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And he is this person here who, you know, he's not like this person here who falls away. So for us, it is important that we too do not give up the Word of God, the good promises that we have heard. Okay, it's very important that we continue in the faith and stay faithful. And then he's also being trained. So why does God train Joseph? Why is God testing Joseph, right? He's testing Joseph. Why? Because of two things. First, to know what condition he is in. And secondly, to refine him, to make him a better person, to make him prepared for the task that he has ahead. So God is not testing him because he likes to see suffering. You know, he likes to see Joseph suffer. But God is testing him because he wants to know whether he will apply the promises. He will believe, he will trust in God, or he's going to just trust in his circumstances. Okay, God wants to know if he has good character, or he's just, when temptation comes, you know, when some distraction comes, is he going to give in? So testing is good for us. I know that we have like a bad, experience, right? When we were in school and college, we were tested by our teachers. And it is not, sometimes it's humiliating, okay? It's humiliating because in a class, say, you know, there are the first student, he's all proud and he's all happy. But the last student, he is ashamed, right? And he probably is not going to come to school for the next few days. So in the world, kind of testing is there are some bad things about testing. Okay, there should not be ranking. Like, okay, you test them, but maybe only they know the scores. Okay, they know. Okay, you got 7 out of 10, or you got 5 out of 10, whatever. But it should not be made public, you know? Because that kind of becomes. This is just I was thinking about this this testing word. But other than that, when you are being tested by your teacher, or your father or your mother, you know, they are telling you something, it is good because they are telling you where you stand, okay, all your efforts, after all your efforts, or whether at all you put any efforts or no. Okay? Maybe you didn't study at all. So it is good when you are tested and they tell you the score. The second reason what testing does is it refines you. It makes you a better person for the coming task. And that is exactly how God deals with us. He's going to test us. He's going to bring us to things, situations that will help us. He's not an evil father, right? That's what Hebrews tells us. Like, your father, your parents sometimes disciplined you for their own selfish reasons, okay? Sometimes they were wrong in their discipline. But our Heavenly Father never does that. He will always discipline you for the perfect and correct reasons. And that is what Joseph is going to experience, his Heavenly Father's hand in his life as he is being trained for the coming big task that he has ahead, which is a very big task. He has to take a whole nation and actually the entire known world through 7 years of famine, to save them through that 7 years. So how is Joseph responding? He's responding by being faithful in little things. By being faithful in little things. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Sorry. Right. Verse 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So it's a very important lesson Jesus is teaching us here. And we see so much of this true in Joseph's life. Okay, he was faithful in very little things. And how did he show his faithfulness? He was faithful to his father when he was in his father's house. He was faithful to Potiphar when he was in his house. And also he was faithful in the prison, in small things. And that is the reason he was qualified to do the task of saving the entire nation. We have in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 20, let each man remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. So that's Joseph, right? He was being faithful as a slave. He tried to become free. Remember in the prison when the butler was free, he said, please remember me when you go out. He tried to get out, but he was not able to. So we also, like in our life, we need to be faithful in our little in the little things that God has given us. And do our best, because God is watching. And we want to please Him in the little things. And if we do that, God will give us bigger things to do. Right? Not only in this life, but of course He's saying, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, and the Bible talks about, the unrighteous mammon is things of this life. Okay? The wealth or whatever assets or any temporal things. The Bible says that those things are unrighteous mammon and they are small things. Okay, but the eternal things to come, life in the world to come, they cannot even be compared to the life that is now. So if we are faithful now, He will make us entrust us with greater things in the coming kingdom. And then the end of the verse is also important. It says, verse 22, for he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man. That means that though we have a tough life, or we might be going through a tough situation at work, or our employers are bad, But you have now another Lord. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, now you have another Lord, and He is a good Lord. He's a good Lord. He's much greater and much more powerful than all your earthly lords. And He's a good Lord, and He will take care of you. He's saying, in your small faithfulness, in your small tasks that you have, be faithful. And be committed and endure, even if it's difficult, and God will take care of you. And it says, likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. So if you have an easy life, and you do not have a boss to report to, don't squander, right? He's saying don't squander, because though you do not have an earthly boss right now, and maybe you are your own boss, but because now you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, because now you are a follower of Jesus Christ, He's your Savior, He's your boss. Okay? He's your boss. And He should be your guide, and you should listen to Him. And when Joseph is being faithful in these small things, he's not compromising, but he's staying truthful to God. God is taking care of him. And we see this in a great way all through Genesis. Okay, and we call this Joseph is in God's care, and another word for it is providence. Okay, God is allowing things to happen in his life and taking care of him just in time sometimes. Okay, he's about to be murdered or killed, but God saves him somehow. And it is so fascinating to see this. And that is also true in our life, that God will take care of you. That is his promise. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 25. So I have put down some verses, some incidents that is a miracle. You cannot explain this in any other way. Okay, these are all miracles. These are very supernatural things that God was doing in this man's life. In Genesis 37 verse 25. So this is when his brothers have thrown him in the pit, and they are discussing what to do with him. they have another problem now. They got rid of him. Now they are saying, like, what do we do now? And they first think of the worst possible thing, that is murder. Okay, just kill him. But Judah, he says, no, we cannot kill him. He's our blood. But he comes up with the second worst plan, okay? And he comes with the second worst plan, that's make him a slave. Sell him off. That's the best he could come up with. And they sell him for 20 pieces of silver, I think. Okay, they sell their brother for 20 pieces of silver. That's like wild. But they think that they are in control, right? They are in control. But let's read this. Then they sat down. They are eating. They sat down to eat a meal. And as they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead. And with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh on their way to bring them down to Egypt. So as they are thinking of killing him or something, this caravan just happens to come along. What is the chance of that? This caravan which is going down to Egypt. Of course, it is God who saved Joseph that time. And probably these merchants were very wealthy, because in those days, you know, these were the real wealthy stuff or expensive stuff that it's talking about here, which is gum, balm, and myrrh. So probably they were very wealthy, and they must have taken care of him until they sold him off. Then we see a very good example of God's sovereign plan in Genesis 40 verse 23. It says, this is when Joseph helps the butler. He tells the butler the dream, and he says, you will be released within 3 days and you will be back in the king's palace. And he says tells him, please remember me, because I am here not because of my own fault. I was kidnapped, I was stolen from my father's house, and I've been thrown in this prison because I've been falsely accused. And we again see a great character in this man, because he's challenging, like, find fault in me. Okay, I don't have any fault. I mean, I've not done anything worthy to be here. But what does it say? It says the chief butler did not remember Joseph. Okay, so the very next day he forgets him. Then in Genesis 41 verse 9, it says, then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember. Okay, so just a day after he forgets, but 2 years after that, he sees Pharaoh struggling and being very... the Pharaoh knows that this is something different, something supernatural. And he was very disturbed. The Pharaoh was very disturbed. And that is exactly the time he remembers Joseph. I mean, what's the chance of that? There is no chance. So this is so great, you know, that God is in control. And don't we want that? Like, we want that to happen in our life, you know. We want God to be in control. So, why? Because the timing has to be perfect. Because if the cupbearer had remembered him immediately, what would have happened? Nothing. Maybe he must have got out of the prison and then gone his way. But because the cupbearer remembered him exactly when the Pharaoh was struggling, it was the perfect timing. Because now he can present him to Pharaoh and rule Egypt and save his people. So it is God's sovereign care that Joseph was under. Then we see Joseph showing great faith all through his life. Okay? He even when he was dying, he believed in this one promise. In Genesis 50 verse 26, so Joseph died being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was, Genesis 50 verse 24. And Joseph said to his brother, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you. So this is after he's about to die. He's 110 years old. So he ruled Egypt for 70 years. And he took care of his people. And Israel became a nation. From 70 people, they became a big nation in Egypt. But God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph is still believing in that promise that God has given them, and he understood by now that it is not just about him, but it is actually the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham before him. So he is the deliverer in Egypt, and that is a fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham. So by the end of his life, he has figured out that this is God using me just as a small link, a small chain. I'm just a small chain in this long plan that God has. And that goes all the way forward, backward to Abraham, my great-grandfather, right? That is right now, I'm just helping in that plan. And what was that promise given to Abraham? We see that in Genesis 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. So this is Egypt. God had already said that they will be in a strange land and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom you shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So this is way before Joseph. God has already revealed it to Abraham that they will go through Egypt and multiply there and become a nation. But then there will be a time of 400 years of suffering. So Joseph is believing that. So a prophet believes in a prophet, right? The prophet confirms what already all the prophets have said. So that is one of the tests of a prophet. A prophet will never contradict what God has already revealed to other prophets before him. And here we see that as he is dying, he is reminding these people, listen, okay, you have had a good run, okay, under me. You have had a great success. You've been living in the best of the land, because Pharaoh gave them the best, right, in Goshen. But now there's going to be trouble coming. But don't worry. Don't worry. He's saying God will take care of you, right? Twice he mentions this. God will take care of you. And when you go out from here, don't leave me here. Take my bones with you. What an amazing man, right? How much of faith he has in God. Like he, even when he's dying, he's thinking about God's promises. That's why Joseph died in faith. He died strong in faith. And that's how we should be. Okay, as we go along, our faith should be stronger, and we should die very strong in faith, really. And this is a great example that this man, as he is dying, he's saying, listen, My story doesn't end here. As I die, this is not my end. God is going to continue his plan, and then when he takes you all out of here, take me with you. Because I believe in that promise. And he wanted to be in the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the land of Canaan. Because that's where God's dwelling is. That's where God's presence is. So what does he say? He says, do not bury me permanently. Okay, don't give me a permanent burial. Because this is not our home. This is not our home. We have to go from here. So again, he as a prophet is prophesying to his people. He's telling them about the future. So in one way, that suffering should not have been a complete surprise for them. That suffering of slavery under the next Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph is going to make them slaves back. In one way, it should not have been a surprise. Because Joseph had already told them that we will go from here. And God had told Abraham that there's going to be 400 years of suffering. It is very similar to what we are learning in Daniel. Remember when Daniel is in Babylon, he's saying this is the fulfillment of Jeremiah. God had already told under Jeremiah that you are going to be slaves and taken out in Babylon, and you will be serving another king. And Daniel recounts that. He says, God, your word is being fulfilled right now. Daniel knew exactly that this is what God told Jeremiah, and that is why he started expecting that there's going to be freedom come. God is now again going to intervene and take us back to the land. This is exactly the same here. Joseph is recounting Abraham, and he's saying this is what is going to happen. Then we have Genesis 50 verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So they did not give him a final burial. He was put in a coffin. And what was that? That was a reminder, a remembrance for the nation of Israel that God will take care of you, because that is what Joseph's promise is. And he was speaking. You know, God's prophets still speak. They speak through the word of God now, and whenever we hear some preacher, pastor speaking, they are not actually prophesying, but they are reminding us of what the prophets have said. So here we see Joseph, though he's dead, he's still speaking. And it is so amazing that in Joshua chapter 24, this is after 400 years, the story we know after Genesis, we have Exodus where the nation of Israel is a slave and they are taken out, and then they go into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 24 verse 32, it says, and the bones of Joseph, so this is after 400 years, okay, between Genesis 50 and Joshua 24 is about 400 years. And the bones of Joseph with the children of Israel brought out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob brought of the son of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. So God's promises is never going to be not fulfilled. Okay, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And here we see what an amazing thing that Joseph was so sure that he will not be buried there. Joseph was so certain that Abraham's promise will fulfill. That he made them swear that do not bury me here. No ways you're going to be burying me here. And how many years he had to wait? Of course, but how many years that promise had to be fulfilled? After 400 years. 400 years. So shouldn't we have also faith for like 10 years or 20 years. If Joseph had like so far, so he's like so far-sighted. I mean, we also, I mean, can have great faith for our life for 10 years, 20 years, or whatever things we are going through. So let's be encouraged today by the life of Joseph and remember him when we go through our times of testing, because God will test us. It's not an option. In fact, the Bible says that if God is not testing you, you are an illegitimate child, okay? That's like very hard, I mean, of course, we don't want to be that. We want to be God's child, right? So it's good that God tests us, and he will never test us more than what we can take. So let's remember that this and be encouraged that some key things that God has revealed us all the promises. Right? Paul says that we have all the promises of God, and they are all yes and amen. And we, like Joseph, should trust in God's promises and stay faithful. Stay the course, right, like Joseph. Stay the course, be single-minded, and we will inherit the promises and the blessings that God has for us. So we'll stop here and...